Good night, pretty girl. Five whispered words that would haunt Ella Monroe for 15 years after surviving the brutal New Year's Eve massacre at a Blockbuster video store in 1999. While her co-workers, the manager and three teenage employees, had their throats methodically slit, 15-year-old Ella somehow survived, hidden in a storage closet, her clothes soaked with her friend's blood. The case went cold despite extensive investigation, leaving the small town of Linden, New Jersey, to slowly transform its collective grief into whispered speculation about the Blockbuster butcher. Fast forward to 2015. Ella, now 30 and working as a therapist in Philadelphia, has constructed a fragile facade of normalcy while self-medicating with Xanax and engaging in risky hookups. When she receives a late-night call from her former teacher, now Principal Stedman, history repeats itself in the most horrific way. Four teenage girls working the closing shift at the Dairy Creamery have been attacked, with only one survivor, a quiet foster child named Jessie Duvall. The parallels are unmistakable. Both attacks targeted teenagers working night shifts. Both demonstrated careful planning. Both left a single survivor found hiding, and both occurred in Linden, a town too small for such striking coincidences. Trauma doesn't end when the danger passes, Ella tells a client. It lives in your body, rewires your brain, changes who you are at a cellular level. 15 years after surviving the Blockbuster massacre, Ella remains broken. Her professional therapist persona masks a medication-dependent woman who compulsively pulls her hair when stressed, trichotillomania that has left her with bald spots since the attack. Ella's life is permanently divided between before and after that New Year's Eve. Her relationship with her cold, wealthy mother deteriorated after the attack, her mother cruelly suggesting Ella should quit defining herself by that day. Her engagement to Brad feels hollow, born from desperate attempts at normalcy rather than love. Jessie Duvall, the ice cream shop survivor, presents a stark contrast. Where Ella seems fragile, Jessie displays unsettling composure, intelligent, manipulative, and harboring secrets that make her both victim and potential threat. Unlike Ella, who spent years in therapy, Jessie immediately begins investigating her attack, researching connections to the Blockbuster case. Both share a dangerous relationship with risk. Ella walking through dangerous neighborhoods at night, pepper spray ready, while Jessie introduces Ella to train catching, standing perilously close to passing trains for an adrenaline rush that momentarily makes them feel alive. Nearly every character conceals a hidden past or identity that unravels throughout the investigation. Chris Ford, a dedicated public defender, is actually Christopher Whitaker, younger brother of Vince, the prime suspect in the original Blockbuster murders who vanished 15 years ago. Adopted after his mother's murder, Chris has tracked his brother through an anonymous travel vlog, convinced of Vince's innocence. Jessie Duvall's identity is even more complex. Beyond being a troubled teen obsessed with the Blockbuster case and allegedly stalking her English teacher, Jessie is revealed to be the biological daughter of Katie McKenzie, a Blockbuster victim who secretly gave birth during her sophomore year. Authority figures aren't exempt. Principal Stedman, outwardly a caring educator, conceals the darkest secret: his predatory relationship with teenage Katie 15 years ago, and his role as the true killer in both murder sprees. His driving school provided access to vulnerable teenage girls across multiple schools for years. Even physical spaces wear masks. The abandoned Blockbuster building stands as a hollow shell hiding its bloody history, while the Monroe Estate's manicured gardens conceal Vince Whitaker's unmarked grave, buried by Ella's father and other victims' parents in an act of vigilante justice. "Do justice today" becomes Chris and Ella's unlikely catchphrase by the novel's end, yet throughout the narrative, justice remains elusive through official channels. The legal system repeatedly fails victims, creating cycles of vigilantism and violence. The original blockbuster investigation exemplifies this failure. Vince Whitaker was hastily arrested on circumstantial evidence, then released when the case couldn't be substantiated. Political pressure from the McKenzie family led to prematurely closing the investigation. Critical evidence, Katie McKenzie's pregnancy and her connection to a prominent family, was deliberately omitted from reports. When the system failed, the victims' fathers took justice into their own hands, abducting and murdering Vince despite evidence of his innocence. 15 years later, Jesse faces a similar rush to judgment. The chronically underfunded public defender's office can only offer inexperienced lawyers like Chris against the prosecutor's full resources. Their 150-plus client caseloads make thorough investigation nearly impossible, creating a system that processes rather than protects. FBI agent Sarah Keller provides a powerful counterpoint, a pregnant investigator pursuing truth regardless of political convenience. Her methodical approach ultimately identifies the real killer. When she breaks protocol to prevent a raid on an autistic boy's home, she becomes Agent Badass, showing how justice sometimes requires working outside rigid systems. Principal Dale Stedman exemplifies the manipulation of authority, maintaining a reputation for dedication while systematically abusing his professional roles. His cultivated public image shows how institutional status can deflect scrutiny. Stedman targets vulnerable individuals, particularly students from challenging families. Katie McKenzie proves susceptible. Her religious upbringing and absent mother create exploitable emotional needs. Through calculated attention and escalating privileges, he isolates her from support systems. When Katie becomes pregnant at 16, his psychological manipulation ensures her silence. 15 years later, Stedman has evolved his methods. His driving school provides access to students across multiple districts while maintaining professional distance. When Jesse investigates connections between incidents, he identifies her as a threat. His long-term manipulation of Ella through false mentorship shows how psychological control persists beyond initial trauma. The novel illustrates how institutions enable misconduct. School administrators, prioritizing reputation, overlook warning signs. Law enforcement, following protocols, misses case connections. Even Ella, despite being a therapist, fails to recognize concerning patterns. Her trauma-induced barriers prevent objective assessment. Despite its dark subject matter, The Night Shift offers cautious hope through confronting truth and taking responsibility. Characters who find peace stop running from their histories and integrate them into identities built on honesty and purpose. Ella's journey exemplifies this transformation. After 15 years defined by victimhood, her breakthrough begins when she faces the boarded-up blockbuster and helps Jesse through similar trauma. By attacking Stedman to save Keller, Ella reclaims her agency. The epilogue shows her transformed, an active force for good rather than a passive victim. Chris finds redemption by confronting truths about his mother's murder and his father's vigilantism. Risking his life to protect Keller demonstrates finding purpose beyond his obsession with his brother's fate. The novel's final image, Chris and Ella delivering medical supplies through their travel vlog, The Night Shift, reclaims the phrase from its association with murder, transforming it into a symbol of bringing light to darkness. While complete recovery from trauma may be impossible, integration remains achievable. We don't get over our pasts, but learn to carry them differently, not as defining burdens, but as parts of more complex identities. As Hemingway suggests, the world breaks everyone, and afterward, many are strong at the broken places.